You are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast, episode 517, That Time a Black Hole Destroyed the Universe. I'm your host, Kurt, and this week we're going to try and figure out what Stephen Hawking, Mandela effects, black holes, and the year 2012 have in common. Also, welcome to the extension of season 5, and I apologize for the sound of my heater in the background. It always kicks on as soon as I start recording. So when Rocco and I first started this, we decided we'd probably do 16 episodes a season because we figured by the time we get to episode 16, it would be Thanksgiving or right around there. And then we take December off and come back in January. And it never worked out that way. And not once has it worked out that way. There's always been something that as we've taken breaks in the middle of a season and then we've come back months later and then or extended breaks between seasons. So this season, I decided, you know, I'm just going to keep going. I'm thinking maybe this is 517. I'm thinking maybe 520. Don't hold me to that. I'll let you know the episode that I decide that's it for season 5. And then I'll take a couple of weeks off and then come back for season 6. So that's the plan right now. But before we get to season 6, before we even start talking about season 6, we still got episodes to get through. In this one, let's find out how a black hole destroyed the universe. Not is going to, has. It's already happened, according to somebody. So we're going to get into that. The Primitive Intelligence Podcast starts now. So there have been several takes on this idea. I've heard them over the years since 2012. And they always involve a black hole and the end of the world. And this one is no different. Before we get into the story, though, there's 5 things we have to touch on, just so everybody knows what's going on, kind of like a glossary of terms I'm going to do first. So first of all, if you don't know who Stephen Hawking was, he was an English theoretical physicist, a cosmetologist, and an author who was the director of research at the Center for Theoretical Cosmology at the University of Cambridge. And unfortunately, he passed away in March of 2018, probably one of the brightest minds of our time. Next up, Mandela effects. If you don't know what Mandela effects are, you might be affected by Mandela effects. No. So this is a situation where a large group of people believe that an event occurred when it did not, or it occurred in a significantly different way. The term was originated in 2009 by Fiona Broom after she discovered that her, along with a bunch of other people, could swear to God that Nelson Mandela had died in the 1980s when he actually died in 2013. That's one that got me. I always thought he died earlier, but Mandela effect. The next thing we got to keep in mind for this story, black holes. You should know what a black hole is, but it is a region of space where gravity is so strong that nothing can escape it, not even light. And this is because a black hole is so packed with matter, it's so dense, that it deforms space-time. And this isn't like science fiction. This is real. These things actually exist. That's crazy. It's not even the bad guy of the story. Next up, we've got the Higgs boson in the Higgs field. The Higgs boson is the fundamental particle associated with the Higgs field. The field itself gives mass to other fundamental particles, such as electrons and quarks. And a particle's mass determines how much it resists changing speed or position when it encounters a force, which is an interesting way of describing mass. But yeah, so everything that has mass has the Higgs field to thank for it. And then on to the year 2012. Not the movie 2012, but the year 2012. If you weren't alive back then, boy, did you miss a good one. There was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. There was probably 3 different end-of-the-world scenarios, the biggest of which was the Mayan calendar, which its cycles ended in 2012. And this led a lot of people to believe that it was the end of the world. There was also the belief that the magnetic poles are going to shift, and there's a couple other ones. The world ended a lot in 2012. But also, after 2012, people were so convinced that the world was going to end then, that they just assigned the ending to the world there and blamed on the black hole. And that's what we're going to talk about. So last night, I had some ideas on what I want to do the episode on, but I start watching reels and I'll get sucked into this thing sometimes, especially when the algorithm starts putting me on those crazy stories. And I'm just like, I keep on watching them, because they're fun. But I come across this one, and the title of it is You Are Not Alive. And it's by this guy, Matt Welland. I guess we'll call him a creator. So after I watched this reel, I went and looked at some of his other stuff. And he has a lot of what I would say are seemingly misleading reels about strange and pseudo news. And these things are dangerous. I don't know that this guy is doing it intentionally because he's just trying to get views, which is what I would assume, or if he's just, he really believes the stuff that he's saying, but there's very little research done. And that's why these are so dangerous. There's a pattern, and it's not just him, but it's, as I watch things and I come across things online, there's a pattern. And if I don't know something, I'll come out and I'll say, I don't know. I'm going to talk about it because I think it's an interesting topic, but I know a little about it. I'll give the information I have. And that's how I'll present it. I won't try to come to you and say, these are the facts and this is what's going to happen. I want to give you multiple sides of the story because this is entertainment, right? This is an entertainment podcast. I try to be entertaining, but I want to have interesting topics. I don't want to just talk about influencing and products and stuff like that. I want to talk about fun stuff. I want to talk about things that make you think. So the formula these kind of creators use is they will take some real information, like real names, actual people, actual places, actual events, but they will get details horribly wrong, or they'll get them close enough that it sounds right. And then they'll treat them as the truth. And they'll say it in such a convincing manner that bam, people believe it. But, and this is just the way I've always been, when I hear someone talk about specific things and they're specific, I want to research those. Like if what I'm seeing is true, I want to know. I want to go see if I can find that information. And a lot of times I'll see clips. I've been seeing some that are like Joe Rogan clips of him reading news stories, but I think someone's using AI to fake his voice. Because I can never find these clips that he's done. And it's always some weird story that's I've never heard of before. And it might be something he would do, but it's not really. And that's, I mean, I've talked about AI in previous episodes and how that could be dangerous with things like that. But if you can put, these guys put a little bit of credibility on, like I said, the names or the places or the voice that's being used. And it generates a little, just enough trust with a person watching it, if you're not thinking too much about it, that you just kind of follow along. And maybe that's the point. Maybe they think, well, at some point you're going to be scrolling through so many of these things that you're just going to be susceptible to, you're going to be open-minded to whatever you see. And somebody's going to say something like, oh, wow, that's crazy how true that is. It might not necessarily be true. So this reel, You Are Not Alive, it starts with a warning. And he says, if this is about the end of the world, it's the scariest thing you're going to ever hear. You're not going to be able to sleep tonight. If this scares you, keep scrolling. Now, I will put a link to this in the bottom, in the show notes. So if you want to go watch it, go ahead. It's good for entertainment, but it's very clickbaity, I would say. So yeah, if you're scared, keep scrolling. Otherwise, here we go. He starts off by saying that Stephen Hawking famously said, if scientists find the Higgs boson, it could suck our entire universe into some kind of a black hole, effectively ending life as we know it. However, if we did get sucked into a black hole, we wouldn't actually realize it because it would happen so quick. He then jumps on to Mandela effects occur because we're in another reality, or there's a bleed through of reality, or we're inside a black hole. And then he cites a couple of these Mandela effects. He mentions the world has seemed different since 2012. He mentions the pandemic. I don't think that could be caught by a black hole, but you never know. His explanation for all this is that we are inside of a black hole caused by the discovery of the Higgs boson and are now living in a simulation. So let's look at these talking points he has. Now, the first thing is, as soon as you mention a actual person who is even relatively popular, I mean, Stephen Hawking was extremely popular. You know, a lot of stuff that he said was recorded. So when you are going to claim that he has famously been quoted as saying something, that had better be a damn easy thing to find. And it was not. So I did some searching. And Stephen Hawking did discuss the Higgs boson in kind of the fashion that he's talking about. But he never said, as far as I can tell, he never said that it would cause a black hole or could cause a black hole. But he did mention the idea that the Higgs boson could create a vacuum bubble that would spread very rapidly. Now, the vacuum bubble is not a black hole, but I guess if you hear vacuum, and which is a lack of anything, and then black, which is a lack of color, and then hole and sphere and bubble. I don't know how he made that connection, but the words Higgs boson and black hole were never uttered by Stephen Hawking. Now, onto the Mandela effects that he mentions. He talks about Curious George, and does Curious George have a tail or no? And some people remember Curious George having a tail, and now he doesn't. And that's another fun thing that you can, there's a lot of things like that you can think back and be like, oh, was it this or was it that? But the key one that he focuses on is, he talks about this painting of the Statue of Liberty from way back when, and it shows the Statue of Liberty on Ellis Island. He claims it shows on Ellis Island, and he says, but it's not on Ellis Island. Now, here's the catch on this. The Statue of Liberty has never been on Ellis Island. It is near Ellis Island, but it has always been on Liberty Island. And the reason why the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island are so closely connected is because it is one of the first things that new immigrants to the country, when Ellis Island was still in operation, it's one of the first things that they would see. They would go right past it on their way to Ellis Island. It was never on Ellis Island. It's always been on Liberty Island. But the painting he shows is the Statue of Liberty on the island it's on now. It's just from a weird angle. So, to me, Mandela effects are fun, but there's a big problem with them. And I want to cover some at some point, just because they are fun. But when you were a kid and you were in school, did you ever play the telephone game or the telegraph game, where the teacher or one person would whisper a phrase to the first person in line? There'd be a bunch of people standing in line, front to back, and would whisper something to the first person, and then they would turn and whisper it to the next person, and on down the line, and by the time it gets to the end, it's a completely different phrase. And the reason for that is, the human brain has a really good capacity for memory, but our memory recall sucks. Even short term, especially short term. But in the long term, we remember things a certain way. We get confirmation bias. We think we heard something. We say it in our head so often. A good example is that, as I remember when I was a kid, there's always t-shirts that said, "Beam me up, Scotty," like Star Trek shirts. "Beam me up, Scotty." That was never said. Kirk never said that. It's never uttered in like, "Beam me up" was said, but not "Beam me up, Scotty." Kirk never said that. But because there was merchandise that said it, people took it as gospel. So Mandela effects are interesting, but I don't think you can base your conclusion for the end of the world on Mandela effects. There's just too many problems with the human brain and memory recall that make me not want to use that as anything other than a fun topic. So true, we would be sucked into a black hole pretty quickly, but I don't think it would happen the way he seems to think it would. he appears to have a very Hollywood idea of what would happen if he got sucked into a black hole. Like, we would get pulled in and shrunk down. Like, everything would get compressed. We just get miniaturized and put into a black hole, and then somehow that would be a simulation. Or that we would get pulled in and digitized, and either the black hole is a simulation or it sucks us into a simulation somehow. But we wouldn't get shrunk or digitized. When things get pulled into a black hole, they go through a process, and we would be no different. A process called spaghettification. And it is as horrific as it sounds. Now, the gravity that is associated with a black hole is so strong, like I said earlier, that not even light, a light that's made of photons, which have no mass, can't escape a black hole. That's strong gravity. And I don't know if it's an exponential curve, but the closer you get to a black hole, the stronger the pull of gravity is. And not like if you're 10 feet away, it's a little bit stronger than if you're 20 feet away. I mean, like, the gravity is extreme. If you're looking at a black hole, the gravity on the outside of your nostril is like orders of magnitude higher than the gravity on the inside of your nostril. Like, that we're talking that kind of gradient. So if you were falling in feet first, the gravity at your feet would be so much stronger than at your head. Your body would be pulled apart atom by atom, molecule by molecule, into a stream of atoms that get sucked in, and then those atoms get crushed. Now, you don't recover from that. You're not going to pop out on the other side in a Disney movie. It's not part of the Marvel universe. It's not like Tron. You don't get sucked through to another dimension, as far as we know. I mean, maybe you do, but I don't think so. You just get crushed. If you have any doubts about how scary a black hole is, NASA was able to get data from observations and turn that data into the sound that a black hole makes. I'm going to play this for you. This is the sound of a black hole. Is that something you want to fall into? It sounds like that. That's not something I want to mess with. There's very little that we've witnessed as on a black hole that would indicate that you would survive that, or any part of you would survive that. Now, there was a black hole that was witnessed, I think, in 2018. Was it 2018? I think they witnessed this black hole, and they've now that they know how to spot them, they know where they are in space with telescopes. They can look at them. And they see this black hole consuming a star. It's just devouring it. And it generates this large amount of light. And that's, they don't actually see the black hole, but they see the destruction that's causing. So they have seen this before. It consumes this star. And then they kind of forget about it. Oh, well, that's just a normal black hole doing its normal thing. 3 years later, it lights back up. And for some reason that we don't understand, it spit out a bunch of the star after 3 years. So either it never got completely into the black hole and the black hole was obscuring the matter of the star that didn't get pulled in, and then somehow it got too close and it reignited or something. They don't understand how that happened. But generally speaking, you're not coming back out of a black hole. It's not a wormhole, I don't think. I don't think it goes to another spot, although we don't really know. I guess it could. But the chance of you surviving it and experiencing a simulation inside of a black hole, I don't think is going to happen. Now, we don't understand the consciousness. We don't understand if it's generated by the human brain or if it's non-local and the brain is a receiver. But either way, I don't think there'd be anything left to either generate or receive consciousness. So I don't think we'd actually survive that. Now, there's several variations of this concept, stating that a black hole would be created by the scientists at CERN or scientists at a particle collider like CERN. And now what CERN is the Large Hadron Collider. And what that does, now I'm not a physicist, so this is going to be very lame in terms. So if I get some of this wrong, please be kind. But it's a large structure, and I believe it's underground, with these large hoop-like tunnels, like giant loops. And there's at least two. And what they do is they take electrons, I believe, and they fire them into these tubes. And they use magnets, again, I believe, a magnetic field, to increase the speed. And in one loop, they send them clockwise. In the other loop, they send them counterclockwise. And when they reach their maximum speed, they open a junction between the two and they fire them at each other. And then they collide. And then all kinds of sciencey stuff happens. And they use machines and sensors to see what's going on. And the people have this fear that collision of these particles is going to somehow create a black hole. To give you an example of what it would take to create a black hole, because it's hard to picture this at an atomic level, at a particle level, but there is a ratio that they use that dictates how compressed something needs to become to generate a singularity, to generate a black hole. And theoretically, any amount of mass can create a black hole. So yes, a particle could create a black hole. But to give you an idea, if you took the Earth, right, this thing that we're on, and you take that and you compress it down so that it is about 0.6 inches diameter, it would need to be smaller than that. That's the threshold. You go a little bit smaller than that, it's going to create a black hole. The entire Earth in something the size of between a nickel and a quarter. So in order to generate a black hole with particles, it would be so small, it would be what they call a quantum black hole or a mini black hole, which doesn't have enough mass, especially in the presence of the gravity of something more massive like the Earth. It doesn't have enough mass to sustain itself, and it evaporates pretty quickly. So I don't know if they've created them at CERN or in any particle accelerator, but they're not worried about it. And it's something that they want to study because it would give them a lot of answers about how time and space and all this stuff intertwine. So the black hole being generated by CERN, not so much of a concern. Black holes, maybe little tiny ones, but they would evaporate. Now, in 2012, they did discover the Higgs boson. But keep in mind, discovery doesn't change the state of the matter, right? So just because you see something that you previously didn't know existed doesn't mean it's going to change into something else. I think of it this way. If you've ever had a glass of orange juice and then next to it is a glass of milk, and you pick up the what you think is orange juice, but it's the milk, right? So you pick up the milk thinking it's orange juice, and you take a swig. It doesn't instantly change into orange juice, does it? You think there's something completely wrong because you're expecting one flavor and you get something different, right? So you discovered there's milk in your glass and not orange juice. It doesn't turn it into orange juice. So discovering a Higgs boson doesn't change what it is. It's not like it was created. We didn't create the Higgs boson. We found it in its natural state. Now the problem becomes is that the Higgs boson has the nickname of the God particle. And I forget how it got that moniker. I think it had to do with because it imparts mass to matter. And it's like this unifying field. It's everywhere. People just assumed it was the thing that creates all things. And it really isn't, but it got this name of the God particle. Physicists don't like using it. It's the Higgs boson, because it's not a God particle, but that's what it was known. But it got that kind of this all-important name. It was discovered in 2012 when all of these things were supposed to happen. All the end of the world, the end of the Mayan calendar, the poles shifting, the giant floods, all of that stuff. And bam, people think black hole destroyed us all. So this idea that a black hole would have destroyed us back in 2012 when we're living in the simulation, not very likely. Maybe we are living in the simulation. We've already done an episode on that. And I believe that's possible, but not this way. We would not, there's nothing that would survive for us to be a simulation if the world ended in 2012. We'd have to have been pulled out of reality prior to that black hole sucking us into it and put into a computer, but that wouldn't mean that we are in a simulation inside of a black hole. So a lot of things have to go right. So there's nothing to fear, right? Right? Introducing the Higgs boson doomsday. This is an actual thing. Now, I'm not going to pretend I know what a lot of this means, so I'm just going to give you the information as I found it, and we will learn together. They were able to determine the mass of a Higgs boson, and it turns out to be 126 times the mass of a proton. And you think, well, that's what the, yay, who cares? This turns out to be the precise mass needed to keep the universe on the brink of instability. Physicists believe that this delicate state that the Higgs boson is will eventually collapse, and the universe itself could become unstable. And this conclusion it involves that Higgs field, because the Higgs bosons are part of the Higgs field. So the Higgs field existed since the beginning of the universe. It acts as its own energy source. So as soon as it came into existence, it's been powering itself. And physicists believe that it may be fluctuating in its state of power to find a balance between field strength and required energy to maintain that field. So sometimes it's a little higher, sometimes it's a little lower. And like matter, it can exist in two states. So right now, currently, it appears to be sitting in a very low state of energy. And the problem is it can sit at this very high state of energy. And if it gets that maximum state of energy, it could potentially destroy the universe. Because remember, this field is everywhere and it imparts mass to matter. So if this Higgs field goes haywire and it starts changing the physics of mass and matter, you can imagine that would cause some problems. They do say this seems unlikely to happen anytime soon, but there's always a but, isn't there? There could be something called a quantum fluctuation. Now, quantum physics, I've touched on this earlier in the year. I know very little about it. I've got some ideas, but quantum mechanics, quantum physics, quantum mechanics and quantum physics are so out there that any idea you could have is probably right. So I have no base of reference for this, but they say that a quantum fluctuation could cause what's known as quantum tunneling. So this low energy state and this high energy state, if you're picturing it in your mind and you picture it as a wave, and right now we're currently in the low state, and that high state is the top of the wave. And if it can, as they say in this article, chug up the hill to that high state, well, it could cause the destruction of the universe. But this quantum tunneling, if this fluctuation happens, it can actually push the energy state through the wave to the other side. And then there could be a lower energy state on the other side. So what we think is the low state now, if it gets through this wave, it could be a lower state on the other side. And bad news, this could create, or most likely would create, a vacuum bubble. Good news, we won't be the cause of it. It won't be anything we do that causes this to happen. Bad news, it's just going to randomly happen at some point in the open space. Good news, chances of it happening near us in our vicinity, really slim. Bad news, once it starts, it won't stop until it equalizes the universe. Worst news, the vacuum bubble is actually bad news and the worst news. The bubble would form and begin expanding immediately at the speed of light. The strength of the inner field, the strength of the Higgs field inside the bubble is even slightly more energetic than the Higgs field on the outside. It could shrink atoms, disintegrate atomic nuclei, and make it so that hydrogen would be the only element that could exist. That's the best case scenario when this happens, is that it just becomes a hydrogen universe. Even worse news, this may have already started somewhere in the universe and we would never know. So somewhere in the universe, there could be a Higgs field vacuum bubble expanding at the speed of light, wiping out everything in its path, turning it into hydrogen, or worse. But this all hinges on our current knowledge of the universe, and it doesn't account for an equalizing force to the Higgs field. The calculations about the Higgs field and Higgs boson could be wrong due to lack of knowledge, due to lacking information, because we don't know what we don't know. We only know what we can observe. There's things in the universe that we don't know, and we don't know what those are. So we don't know what we don't know. How many times can I say we don't know? We just don't know. Now, the idea of supersymmetry shows us that everything has an opposite particle. The Higgs boson should be no different, meaning it should also have an anti-Higgs boson, meaning there would be an anti-Higgs field, which means we're safe, right? You can let me know by contacting the show at podcast@primitiveintelligence.com. You can leave a comment in the video if you're watching on YouTube, and voice notes on Spotify, all that fun stuff. I don't mean to leave you hanging on this one, but that is literally the end of the science. It's just up in the air. It could kill us. Or there's something that's going to save us. It's like a bad sci-fi movie, but it's it's reality. Thank you for joining me today and listening to me talk about stuff I know very little about. The reality on this one is actually scarier than the meme. I really hope that we create a black hole and not a Higgs boson vacuum bubble. That thing is terrifying. I really do appreciate you listening all the way through. This has been the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. That's all I've got for this episode. Enjoy the rest of your week. See ya.